may not be easy. Everything that I need, you've already given me. I remember how you told me, I can trust you completely. So why am I doubting when you prove that you'd fight for me? Walk me through fires and pull me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I'm changed by your mercy, I'm covered by your peace, I'm living out the victory. Doesn't mean I won't feel the heat. You walk me through fires and pull me from flames. You're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me.
I can face anything, 'cause you're here with me. And I can do all things, 'cause you strengthen me. And I remember how you showed me the price my redemption. Lord, how could I question when you proved that you died for me?
You walked me through fires and pulled me from flame. You're in this with me, I won't be afraid. Smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me.
This morning, you know, it's Mother's Day, and it's a special time we think about our mamas, because, you know, no matter what you think, none of us would be here without a mama. No matter what relationship you have with your mama, you still wouldn't be here without her. And so this morning, I want to take a little time to talk about a young man who got a lot from his mama. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now that's Paul, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, Paul. He is the mentor to other people. He is writing to one of his closest friends, and that's Timothy. And Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him in faith because Timothy is alone and dealing with a rough time, rough church in a rough town in Ephesus. You know, it's where before Timothy could allow Paul to take the land in situations like this, or at least have his support, now he's all alone. So he spent a lot of time with Paul. And the Scripture tells us that things about Timothy and what Paul thought about him. He's sensitive, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:4. He has good conscience here in 1 Timothy 1:19. He's faithful to the Lord in 1 Corinthians 7:17. And Paul trusted him to take over for him to carry on his work in Acts 19 and 22 and 20 and 4. He speaks of him in 1 Thessalonians 3 and in 1 Corinthians 4 and 16 and Philippians 2, 19 and 24. And he takes a genuine interest in people is what Paul says. Philippians 2, 20. Paul writes, he says, I have no one else like him. Man, those are kind words, aren't they? Those are words of encouragement. Philippians 2:20, he writes, Paul calls him my son in 1 Corinthians 4:17. And in 1 Timothy 1:2, and also in 2 Timothy 1:2. You know, those character qualities don't really get listed too much on resumes, but it's clear that Timothy is a good person. He's a genuine, authentic man of integrity, a character of faith. You know, mothers and fathers, I say this, mothers and fathers would have no apprehension at all of letting this young man come and date their daughter. He's a man of character. Timothy was a great young man. Naturally, you know, we ask, how did he get that way? You know, in Acts 16, we were told all we know about Timothy's family. And that text tells us that Timothy's mom was a Jew and his father was a Gentile. But back then, that meant something. Today, it doesn't really mean too much. But back then, it meant a lot. Because Jews didn't marry Gentiles, and Gentiles didn't marry Jews back then. The text also tells us something else. And Timothy's mom, Eunice, was a believer in Jesus, and she was a woman of faith. And it says nothing about the faith of Timothy's father. But because he was a Gentile, most scholars, I will say this, believe that he was not a man of faith. The text also tells us something else. Timothy's mom, Eunice, was a believer in Jesus, and she was a woman of faith. You know, I want to remind you that Christian women here today, if you have a husband that is disinterested in God, that's not uncommon. You're not alone. But Timothy's mom was in your shoes as well. And in the same holds true for the Christian men with a wife that is disinterested in the Lord. But Timothy was impacted through the faith of a single parent and grandparent. Our God worked and can work through any family situation. And you know, there's no prescribed way that He works. He can redeem and touch lives in any scenario. And I'm telling you here this morning, He can change lives through what you do and who you are. In our scripture today, Paul describes Timothy's faith in verse 5 as being sincere. He says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Other translations use genuine faith. Genuine faith. It was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't put on. It was real. Timothy's faith wasn't learned. His faith wasn't learned from books. It was just a fact. Timothy's faith wasn't acquired by memorization. Timothy's faith wasn't something he did out of habit or out of routine. Timothy's faith was sincere and genuine. It's who he was. His faith wasn't a show. It wasn't a demonstration. It wasn't an act that he performed to make him feel good or to draw attention to himself. It was who he was on Sunday, and it was who he was on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and again on Sunday. It's just who he was every day of the week. He was genuine and sincere in his faith. It was how he lived at home, and it was how he lived at work or wherever he was at. It's who he was. It's how he lived. It's who he was at the market, and it's who he was in the temple. It's who he was in front of his friends, no matter who they were or which friends they were. Sometimes we can act different with different friends. But not Timothy. He was sincere and genuine to everyone. He was consistent. And naturally, you know, I ask, how did this happen? How does a child born into a family with mixed and contrasting beliefs and practices regarding religion come to be a person so critical to the work of God in this world? Paul tells us, he points out and indicates some factors that led to Timothy's becoming a man as he was. And in verse 5, he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. Timothy's sincere faith came not by accident. It didn't grow by accident. It didn't even come from the work of the church. Timothy's sincere and genuine faith came as a direct result and through the direct influence of his mother and his grandmother. Three generations here. Grandma Lois to her daughter Eunice, and now to her son Timothy. And I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Paul knows the impact and influence of a mother. Though he is often accused of being hard and mean spirited towards women and their role in the Christian ministry. Take note here this morning that Paul is no male chauvinist, I'm telling you. He knows. He understands that this man who has worked beside him for the cause of Jesus Christ was first pointed in this direction by his mom Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Again, he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandma Lois and your mother Eunice. Mothers here today, take note that, and dads, I guess, need to pay attention too, that the faith you long for your children and your grandchildren to have and grow into must first live in you. Timothy's faith is a sincere and genuine faith first lived in his mom and his grandmother. They demonstrated it. They showed it consistently over and over again. Day in and day out, they proved. They lived a life of faith in front of Timothy, and Timothy saw it. You know, it's not just the church's role, and it's not the church's responsibility to raise up your child in the faith. We play an important part, and we do the best we can, but we've only got your kids a couple hours a week. Sometimes maybe a little more. The youth group. We do the best we can with the time that we have. And it's important. That's why Sunday school is so important and our youth groups are so important. And even for the adults, the Bible school or the Bible studies are so important. We make efforts. But it's not always. It's not just left up to the responsibility of the church. It's the parents. It's the mother and the grandmother and the parents. To live that life every day in front of your kids. We do the best we can to shape our kids into who we want them to be. We do the best we can to mold them. Steer them in the right direction. But consequently, moms and dads desiring to influence and impact your kids and grandkids in the ways Jesus did, in the ways of Jesus, that's how we grow their faith. And I ask you this morning, what efforts are you taking? What efforts are you taking and making to be a person you long for your kids to be? Do your kids see you reading the Bible? Do your grandchildren wait for you to pray when they visit? What songs do they hear you listening to? Children become what they see. And Timothy's sincere faith first lived in his mom and his grandma. I read a story where a mom showed up at the food drive with a 6-year-old daughter and a younger child, and she asked if they could drop off some food. Of course, pastor said, absolutely. So they unloaded their car. And it turns out that the little girl just turned 6, and for her birthday party, she asked not that her friends bring presents, but instead food. And now they were delivering it to the church. Isn't that a wonderful story? I was told that. That really happened. Where did she learn that from, I wonder? 6-year-old. She just didn't make that up or think that up. It's not natural for a 6-year-old, is it? Is it natural for at all? No. I'm guessing she learned that from her mama and her daddy, her grandma, her grandpa. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, that which you long to see grow and mature in your children and grandkids must first be present in you. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, Paul tells us something else that caused Timothy to become the person he became as an adult. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. continue in what you learn. Paul found out that Timothy, when he was a mere infant, began to learn the scriptures, and his mom and grandma and perhaps some others made it their mission to teach him. He made this point. They made their point to him, and they took time out of their day to do it. They chose to not be involved in certain matters so that they could teach young Timothy, infant toddler, young boy, Timothy, the scriptures. They taught him these things. And why? Because scripture makes one wise, Paul tells us. Psalms 119:11 tells us when we hide scripture within us, when we digest it, we come to know it. And our way is kept pure and our sinful tendencies are weakened. Timothy's parents started young, and when he was an infant, they taught him the principles, and it never is too early to start. And it's never too late either. Remember that. It's never too late. Even if your kids are older now. Read the Bible. Tell the stories. Learn the verses. Watch The Chosen. It's good. It teaches. There's countless YouTube videos of great messages and great teachings. There's good ones. There's some bad ones too. You can discern through those, but there's some good stuff out there that's available to teach your kids and get your kids involved in learning about and who Jesus Christ is. Timothy became the man he was due to the godly influence of his mom and grandma, and who knew this reality. The faith that Timothy had first lived in his mom and his grandmother, and his faith grew in roots when he was a mere infant. Something else Timothy's mom did. She let him go with Paul. Sometimes that's hard. She let him go. Sometimes there's a point in life where your kids are, you've done all you can do for them, you feel like. And it's time for them to go. Sometimes it's an open door and sometimes it's right? No. We do the best to give them what we can, right? Moms, grandmas. Here was a mom who, with the care of a painter or a sculptor, chiseled out and added color to cultivate a young man of God. And yet this mom knew that there were other people and other experiences that would take what she had taught him to a deeper level. And Timothy's mom let him go. Timothy joined Paul in his second missionary journey, and Timothy learned numerous things from this way to become a pastor from Paul. And two of them, they traveled. Man, they traveled a lot together. They encountered desperate situations and God-glorifying occasions. Let me tell you, when you're serving God, you'll see some amazing things happen in your life. Some amazing experiences. Amazing transformations in other people's lives, including your own. Nowhere do we read Eunice saying, come back, come home. I told you so. I didn't raise you for this. No, she had faith. She trusted God. She trusted God. She trusted in His provisions and His calling and care more than her own abilities. And I'll say this morning, moms, don't question your God-given role to care and nurture and bring up your children in the ways of the Lord. When those times of doubt seem to prevail, remind yourself that the fruit sometimes comes later. It's worth it all. So this morning, I want to say, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, I recognize and thank you each, moms, grandmas, for what you do for your kids and how you love them and how you seek the Lord for the direction to guide them, watch over them. And I pray that God watch over you on your mission of raising your kids, because it is that. It is a mission. So we thank you today for your lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for your word, Lord. Let it just be burnt into our minds and applied to our lives. Lord, I want to thank you for each and every mother that's here and grandmother that's here this morning. Lord, strengthen them and give them strength that they need to day by day teach their kids about you. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. Be with us. Keep us safe as we celebrate this day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.